see Zendaya like you've never seen her before.
From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, where Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy who makes no apologies for her game on and off the court.
For more than a decade, she has had former best friends Patrick and Art, played by Josh O'Connor and Mike Feist, under her spell.
It's Tashi's game and Tashi's rules.
See Challengers only in theaters April 26th. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com.
Hey, Fidelity. What's it cost to invest with the Fidelity app?
Start with as little as $1 with no account fees or trade commissions on U.S. stocks and ETFs.
That's music to my ears.
I can only talk.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. $0 commission applies to online U.S. equity trades and ETFs and retail Fidelity accounts. Sell order assessment fee not included. Some account types and securities excluded. Details at fidelity.com/commissions. Fidelity Brokerage Services LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Just watch me love myself. That's all I want. Got what I want. That's all I want. I'm not sorry.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
And this is Love to See It, an obsessively detailed recap podcast about reality dating shows like The Bachelor and other pop culture that makes us laugh, cry, and curse the patriarchy.
We can't live with these shows and we can't live without them, but we can break down every juicy moment and unpack all the weird messages these shows send us about love, sex, and dating.
Welcome to Love to See It, a podcast about conspiracy theories and Maddie Trizzy Trout.
Girl, you don't know. You don't know.
I don't know. You know what? I watched all those clips from that live and I still don't know what the hell is going on. If you don't get that reference, look, you obviously haven't been obsessively reading Bachelor News and Gossip Instagram accounts, and we count you healthy and lucky for that. That's beautiful for you. Unfortunately, we do know the reference and we're going to share that information with you today.
Unfortunately, it is our professional duty. I did refuse to fully commit to that Grant Trout impression, but
I think that was the right decision.
I agree. So today we're going to be getting into some of the Bachelor news and gossip that, because there's just been a lot going on recently and we have not had time to just really dig into it with all of you. So today, it's just the two of us. We're catching up.
It's been a crazy summer.
The important morsels.
It's been a crazy summer of gossip. And it's been a crazy summer for us. I'm like, when in between all of our vacations and bouts of illness are we going to have a chance to talk about all the crazy shit that's happening in Bachelor Nation? So we finally found a pocket of time. I'm mostly recovered. And Emma hasn't left yet.
You sound much better. I haven't left the country yet. We're doing great.
So we have to start with a story that, I mean, I don't think we ever wanted to have to talk about. We didn't want it to be true. We didn't want it to exist. But we can't do a news and gossip episode and not touch on it. It's so fresh. It's still rocking Bachelor Nation. It's the claims of these two women who came forward and said that Nate Mitchell, a recently eliminated contestant on Gabby Windy's half of this season of The Bachelorette, that he dated both of them in the last couple of years and actually sort of two-timed them and also kept important information from one of the women who he dated for around a year and a half on and off, including that he was going through a divorce and that he had a child, which we all know about his child from watching the show. She claims she only learned about the child when he appeared on The Bachelorette. So this, you know, Nate was a front runner. Nate was a front runner for our hearts. Nate was a Vatch Nation favorite. This really rocked the community, I think.
Yeah, I mean, overall, the news was just a massive bummer. Like, I think there is this fantasy that we inevitably all kind of buy into in watching this show, which involves getting to crush on the various contestants and getting to, you know, fully buy into the characters. And they are real people, but what we are seeing as viewers is in essence a character that the show has made certain decisions to meticulously shape, and obviously also shows, you know, particular parts of any given person's personality. And in a sense, you don't want to know about all the crappy dating mistakes that they all have made.
Yeah, we all want to hold on to our fantasies that there are like good men out there. And like watching The Bachelorette over the past few years has just been a
traumatic,
constant exercise in having those expectations, those dreams, those ideals dashed on the pavement. But basically, last week, Reality Steve posted a blog sharing the stories of two women, Kelsey and Laree.
They did go on the record, yeah, which is something that Steve has put a lot of importance on, which makes complete sense to me. He did share screenshots. Like, yeah, to me, it was a compelling report. Any of my questions about it are more existential and not about should we believe what these women are saying, or like,
yeah, there are a lot of receipts. I think that Kelsey especially, she had a longer relationship with Nate. He met Kelsey in January 2020, and they dated for about a year and a half. It was not like hardcore, intense, exclusive the whole time. It kind of ebbed and flowed. They didn't, it seems like, start getting serious in her mind until around a year into dating. But they were involved. You know, she was introduced to his group of friends. They were seeing each other romantically. During this time, apparently, according to Laree, Kelsey later found out he was going through a divorce. He wasn't, according to Laree, divorced until December of 2020. But he didn't meet Laree until about January 2021. He met her on Tinder. She lived in Atlanta. He is in Chicago, and he began seeing her as well, just as Kelsey thought that she was getting serious with Nate. They both shared texts and photos of themselves with Nate, which seemed to show that he was with both of them at this time, that he was sending them really intense affirmations of his feelings and intentions toward them. And, you know, they both celebrated Valentine's Day together that year. And what happened with Laree is that she learned through Nate's friends that he was also dating Kelsey. And they were like, oh, another girl. And she was like, what? And
so she ended things. They only dated for, a couple months.
Yeah. But she did learn about Kelsey's Instagram from this. So later in August of that year, she saw that Kelsey was deleting pics of Nate on Instagram. Nate and Kelsey were going through a rough patch at this point. And she reached out to Kelsey and shared what she had discovered earlier that year, that he had been seeing them at the same time. Kelsey and Nate continued to kind of be involved or to make some more attempts at talking and getting back together. But that completely ended around Thanksgiving of 2021. And so she never knew that he had a daughter. She didn't know that he had been married. That's a story that also wasn't told on the show, and that I don't think he has addressed himself.
Which is fine.
It's fine. I just mean that, like, we only know that he's married from Kelsey Laree. And Laree.
Right.
Right. That's all I mean by that. So, you know, this is all, it came with a lot of screenshots, a lot of photos. I do believe them. I think that, like, it's hard when you get these stories after what happened with Jenna and Reality Steve, where there were text messages. There did seem to be receipts showing that this woman, Jenna, had gone on Bachelor in Paradise with a sugar daddy back home, and that she was playing this guy, Jordan, that she met on the show and got engaged to on the show, and that it was all some sort of, like, perverse hoax on her part. And it ruined Jenna's reputation. And it turned out that it was a hoax and it was all fabricated, which is why I always feel like it's an open question at this point. Like, I'm always now a little bit hesitant, because there are people who
Right. Clearly, there are people who will take the time to go so far as to deeply fabricate things in order to.
But it's not my assumption about what's happening here. My assumption is that they're telling the truth. I would say
the Jenna situation is more likely the exception.
I think it is definitely more likely the exception. That was very unusual. My assumption is that they're telling the truth. I do believe them. They do have a lot of evidence. And it's just very, it really has to affect Nate's image on the show. I mean, as someone who is very open and just seemed like such a nice guy. Like, that was sort of his brand. He's like nice, sincere, romantic guy. And so the like F-boy antics are at odds with that, inevitably. Yeah.
It definitely complicates his image. I don't think that it necessarily means that he was trying to play Gabby or like, you know, I think it's hard to interrogate what a person's crappy dating history means. It's certainly not a green flag, but there are, it's not as though it's impossible to be a dick and then not be a dick.
Right. Yeah, it's like, would I feel as confident about, you know, setting him up on a date with my friend after hearing these stories?
No.
Absolutely not. But at the same time, you know, it doesn't necessarily seem to rise to the level of some of the other scandals we've had about contestants on The Bachelorette. And so there is like a little bit of hesitation, you know, to say, oh, we should go as hard as we have in the past about The Bachelorette casting men who have done really criminal things to women in the past. You know, people have been cast,
yes,
and allegations have come out about sexual assault and intimate partner violence.
Domestic abuse. Yeah.
So there are these, you know, that's a clear red line, and that's a casting failure, you know, if there's some sort of record.
That's also, in my opinion, criminal allegations of abuse, allegations of assault. These are things that, in my mind, like absolutely rise to the level of this story must be amplified. This is in the public interest for this to be a news story and something that is elevated to that level. And I think that this sort of dating history stuff falls into a tough sort of middle ground gray area, because in a sense, I understand why you might get that information. You know, someone with a platform gets that information. And it's like, that is relevant. You know, this person is being given all of this extra sexual and romantic capital by virtue of this show. On the other hand, there is a really big consequence and really big set of consequences to being publicly shamed at the level that Bachelor Nation is capable of kind of doling out,
yeah,
mass harassment publicly. And I just also, and I said this on Juliette Littman's podcast, Bachelor Party, this is not meant to excuse anyone's bad behavior, because this is, to be clear, this is very bad behavior. This is a crappy way to treat people. And I understand why LaRie and Kelsey, if they were treated this way, would want to talk about it and would find it upsetting to see
and
Nate
on
the show.
That they like, have that's been pretty measured about, like, we're not trying to ruin Nate's future,
yeah,
but like, this seems like relevant information.
Right. So
which
none
I think
of this,
for Gabby, it would be.
Yes. I just want to be clear that none of my questions or criticism are like being levied at them.
Yeah.
Or their choices to tell their stories. I do think that there is this. There is probably a lot of overlap between men who have been fuckboys or shitty daters.
Cheaters.
And cheaters and men who want to go on reality television.
Yeah.
And are extremely conventionally attractive and therefore would be cast,
yeah,
on a dating show.
It's true. I mean, we've talked about this in the past that like men who go on the show get all of the sexual capital and romantic capital because women like us watch and we want to believe in what they're selling. We want to believe that there are guys out there who are loyal and kind and also handsome and charming and the whole package, you know? And that enables a lot of the guys to come off the show and act like huge fuckboys. And that's really frustrating. You know, it seems like we're giving these men, you know, the power to cause more like emotional wreckage. At the same time, the way that that's counteracted increasingly, it seems like, is for these men to be kind of made examples of. Like, think of what happened to Blake as well, Horseman on Paradise after Stagecoach.
And I know that we have, like, I count myself as being a part of that, you know, certainly in the past. Like, it is very easy to get swept up because it does feel like a betrayal to, as an audience member, to a certain extent. Like, it is, and there's also something that I think, especially being a woman who has dated men and had bad experiences and had very little recourse for those experiences, there is something to, like, a mass catharsis moment of being like, fuck you, shitty dudes.
Yeah. Well, it's like at every point, you know, they're just serving the emotional needs of the audience, which is like, we need a great guy to believe in and fall in love with. And then when he disappoints that, when he's off the pedestal, we need someone to use as the scapegoat for all of the frustration and angst and pain that have been inflicted by men that we have dated or wanted to date. Like, I do think that, like, it's a really toxic dynamic. These are real people. And I don't like the idea that they're being handed so much sexual capital by virtue of being on the show. And I don't like the fact that the only brake pedal is some sort of, like, hate swarm. And so this was like, when we saw it starting to, like, unfold, we were like, oh, every part of this just feels bad.
It's like that sinking feeling in your stomach. It feels icky to talk about. It feels icky to think about. It feels icky to then watch the person who you're having all these conversations about then on TV. Like, it just, it makes everything less fun and less pleasant. And not that, like, my personal fun is the center of this, but, like,
it's a TV show. It's part of it.
Right. It's a TV show. And, like, you don't want to get the ick watching every moment of it, you know? Yeah. And I think that, I don't know. I just think that it's like, it feels like there are no good solutions here. And the criticism that I've levied at this reporting is more just meant to be kind of open questions about the way that we, as commentators, as journalists, as fans, feed into this ecosystem, build this ecosystem, and sort of questioning, like, are the reactions that are doled out, like, equal to what is being alleged every time? Are we getting swept away? And also,
right,
are there, which stories are being told and which ones aren't?
Did Ari need to be banned from Minnesota? You know, I have a lot of questions about how this
probably
has played out.
Not
historically and today. But it is always true when we have these kind of, like, these kind of uncontrolled audience reactions that, like, yeah, the question always comes up of, like, whose backstories are being amplified to their detriment. And that's something we have to be mindful of, especially as the franchise is trying to diversify and not always doing a great job protecting their cast. So that all is important, I think, to keep talking about and considering. It's definitely made us do a lot of reflection about the best ways to, like, handle contestants who have behaved badly on the show. That being said, this is gossip. Like, it's not a crime, but it is gossip. And, like, it is just, like, kind of wild to do all of this within the last, like, year and then immediately go on The Bachelorette. Like, this shit can come out, obviously. He knows Dustin. He knows Pilot Pete. Like, I find that to be
maybe
just,
he
like,
saw
some
Pilot Pete and was like, can't be worse for me than Pete.
Honestly, and Pete's made it through. Yeah. He's still flying. He's still got his wings. So maybe that was the calculation. Also, Nate has not properly responded yet, which we assume he's limited by contractual responsibilities right now. He has posted a couple Instagram comments basically hinting, you know, there are two sides to every story.
He said, like, good thing I'm human.
Yeah, once. Dustin but Kendrick has promised an episode of his podcast with Pilot Pete, Bachelors in the City, which will be clearing Nate's name, allegedly. Haven't seen that pop up on my feed yet. I want to know what a response would be that would, like, quote unquote, clear his name. Like, it took Jenna a year to run an investigation uncovering that this was all a plot against her to ruin her name. It doesn't seem like that's the tack he's taking. It's more like, no, it sounds like it would be more like, we were never exclusive. Like, they read
we
more
were never
into
exclusive.
This.
I made certain calculations about, yeah, know, his daughter, or like, maybe, I don't know, the legality of his marriage. Who knows? Like, I'm sure that there is context. There's always going to be more context to any story, right? But, you know, and I said this on Juliet's podcast as well, but I think that, frankly, like, the best way to handle this is probably to acknowledge any harm that you might have caused and own that and try to move forward.
Yeah. I think that, like, the thing that would give me the most faith that he had learned something from this, or that he had, like, you know, some right on his side, perhaps, would be to really, like, come out and say, like, here are things that I made mistakes on. Here's my reasoning for doing those things. But, like, I own that, like, I caused a lot of pain by doing those things, and I hope people will learn from my example. But, like, it is just, like, it's one of those things where you do see why you might be like, oh, I don't want to get my kid involved. But that's not the same thing as not telling someone you're dating that you have a kid for so long. You know, there are these things where you could maybe see where there was a kernel of a good idea. Or, like, I'm just single and dating again. But, like, maybe don't send a bunch of texts to two women at the same time being like, you're the reason that I feel happiness again. And, like, you're the only.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm curious if there will be anything beyond kind of the basic, like, we weren't really exclusive and I was just, like, dating a little too crazy post-separation. We'll see. We'll see if that podcast ever drops. I am curious. I do still
I've been waiting.
I have some empathy for Nate in this, although also a lot of empathy for Kelsey and Larie, and I just wish everyone the best coming out of this.
Me too. It also does seem like Nate may still be in the running to be the Bachelor. It's definitely something that is being discussed in the wider Bachelor news ecosystem. His exit post on Instagram has a caption that seems to hint that this could be a possibility. You know, he sort of directs his caption to Gabby. He wrote, I cannot express how grateful I am to have shared this experience with you. You are truly an amazing person, both inside and out. From seeing you light up every room you inhabit to the convos that would bring us both to tears, there's not a moment spent with you that I would take back. I'm forever going to be in your corner, and I pray that you find the person that loves you how you deserve to be loved. And then the final line, which I think is what people are kind of latching onto, says, quote, I strive to become a better person each and every day. My journey continues, ...
It continues. I mean, so he certainly wants to keep his hat in the ring.
Yes.
It seems like Mike Fleiss does, because Mike Fleiss had a really interesting Twitter spasm in response to all of this. Basically,
I
like,
I never know what Mike Fleiss is trying to do. I'm like, is
he was like, we're
going to
put our top
him.
Investigators, Rob Mills and some other producer at ABC on the case. We'll see what they turn up. I was like, he's clearly making fun of this, like, reporting in some sense, but, like, his jokes are always so confusing and poorly delivered.
Yeah, I was like,
but
I don't
it's
know.
Clear
you
that
might
he
be
was
making it worse.
He definitely was making it worse, but I think he was trying to sort of belittle the idea that this was a real issue and suggested to me that he is invested in Nate in some sense. I mean, I also will say the ability to date two women at the same time and really compartmentalize that and give them really earnest affirmation at the same time. I mean, it's like we probably have had so many cheaters as bachelors. They've probably been
it's like a useful skill set.
It's part of the toolkit. But I think the problem is that they just don't have that many good options. Like, people keep, like, after every season of The Bachelor, we're like, oh my God, there are 15 perfect bachelorettes to choose from. Which one will they choose? And after every season of The Bachelorette, we're like, well, there's no one left who we'd be willing to see like, anymore.
This is how we ended up with Clayton. They were like, he's just a pliable, sweet dummy who's done nothing. Like,
I mean, they have overlooked a lot of good candidates who are men of color over the last few seasons, and then not had any good candidates in like the more traditional white bachelor mold. And then they're like, Clayton. But I don't think that they have a good well. Like, what's their well right now? Who is it if it's not Nate?
I think if it's not Nate, my guess is Aven.
Maybe Aven.
My guess. Yeah. If Aven isn't with, because I do think
I could see
Rachel's
Aven.
Probably going to end up with Tino. And so Aven is going to be like top three.
If Jason didn't have a meltdown, I would say maybe Jason. But I actually, you know what? Jason's too reserved. I don't think he could handle it.
Jason is so quiet and uncomfortable on camera and doesn't want to do anything.
Yeah, no, I take that back.
I think Aven is like the only.
Yeah.
The only real choice.
I would watch that season. I would.
He's very beautiful.
Yeah.
I've also seen some suggestions floating around that they do a two Bachelor season with Ethan and Nate. And that's like the chaotic choice.
It's funny because it's like, it's not the best friends. Like, they weren't in the same group. Like, we don't know much about their friendship. But
you're like, do they have any rapport beyond,
right?
Like, we lived in a mansion for a couple
they're
days.
They're just two guys that we liked from this season at various points.
Ethan has had some good one-liners.
I like Ethan. I would be happy to see him return, but I think he's more likely to be a paradise choice, unfortunately.
Yeah, no, I think, to me, Aven is like the real candidate.
Ethan was not heartbroken enough to be Bachelor. We need to see you weeping on the floor. But neither was Clayton. So you know what? There are no rules. Let's move on to another little bit of current season gossip. Was Logan's exit a conspiracy?
Guys,
dun, dun, dun.
Poor editing and storytelling during this last episode has really set Bachelor Nation up to head just like right into conspiracy theory town about Logan's COVID. I saw rumors he like hooked up with a crew member on the ship and like a virgin crew member. And that's why they couldn't, but they wanted to like cover that up, or that like someone was like, maybe he bought weed in Amsterdam and brought it on the ship, and that they had to kick him off
because
he wouldn't say it.
Like, can't you have weed in international waters? I don't understand why you can't have weed off the coast of Amsterdam.
And I'm just gonna say, would I just love if Logan caused utter chaos and like fell in love with a bosun or like one of the on ship entertainers? Yes.
You know that if I wrote a bachelorette rom-com, that's what would happen, and they would be 100%. The heroes.
100%. I literally have that, like something like that, in an outline of a potential novel I've been kicking around. Like that, like we get it. We're into it. We love this storyline. And we know that, of course, it has happened to women. We're like pretty intensely shamed within the world of the show for hooking up.
Or allegedly hooking up.
Or allegedly hooking up with Bachelor producers or camera people.
Yeah.
And it was used.
So this is like such a good storyline. I don't understand why they wouldn't use it, even if they had some sort of... Right. Maybe they have a contract in Virgin, like with Virgin, like don't make our crew like look bad. They don't get pulled into storylines. You don't have to say who it is. Like, it's come to our attention that you've entered into an inappropriate relationship with someone who is not Gabby or Rachel.
Right, someone behind the scenes or someone like that you met in Amsterdam. I mean, you could say anything.
Anything. They have taken a free hand with this sort of thing before. And by the way, it is incredible drama. They love it. I do not see them wasting
the opportunity. Yeah, they would not just like throw that opportunity away and send Logan off in like the actual most anticlimactic way possible.
Because especially because they could just like wait for Gabby to send him home. Like it's clear, like Gabby later was like, I was never going to bring Logan to hometowns. They talk with their producers. I'm sure they would know that he was going to go home soon. If they didn't want to make a storyline out of it, they could have just let her send him home in like 2 days. None of it adds up for me as a theory, unfortunately, as fun as I find it.
I agree. Also, Zachary Reality posted that and confirmed to us that he did get a tip that he considers to be fairly solid, that Logan did get COVID and that two other crew members also got COVID. I mean,
so look, I guess guys, he was getting pretty cozy with crew members more than he was getting with Gabby.
I mean, who are you in a tiny room without airflow more?
No,
the producer conducting your ITMs or the Bachelorette? They were in like a high-ceilinged warehouse.
That's true. I
guess you can't get COVID from whipped cream nipples.
I mean, nipples are just not...
Right, they don't emit the aerosols.
Yeah. Someone also responded to the Bachelor Whatever account on Instagram saying that they know someone in production and it wasn't COVID, quote, they just didn't like how he switched sides.
which doesn't make sense.
I don't understand. They loved that. They turned it into a storyline.
Yeah, no, they actually deeply needed that. And he was the only one that they could get to do that.
That seems like a theory that you come up with from just like watching the show and being like, I don't understand what's happening here. Maybe they were just mad at him. Doesn't make sense to me.
I think all the rumors are most likely bullshit. I also kind of asked around to a couple people and like no one had heard anything that compelled me to believe that this was a massive conspiracy theory.
It's just so weird because the way that they handled it was like, Gabby, I'm so sorry. Logan has COVID. And then going to the guys and being like, there's been a situation.
No, to be clear, they brought this upon themselves. And then Fleiss was
like,
out
here. We can't
here
have liking... the cocktail party because of it, but then we will have the rose ceremony as normal, like one day later. Because
they also don't like to indicate passage of time in any sort of uniform way. So we like have, they gave no context as to their COVID protocols, except that Logan was swiftly removed from one after party. It was very bizarre. And they definitely did this to themselves. So like, for anyone who's been compelled by the conspiracy theories, know that I have been too. And this is certainly the show's fault to an extent. But I think it's like Occam's razor here. Like he just got COVID during a time when COVID was around.
Occam's razor, people get COVID all the time. Also Occam's razor, people have really bad COVID protocols now and they don't make any sense anymore. Also, Occam's razor, their editing is not very good this season. So I understand it's a lot to juggle. They're having trouble cobbling it together. So Logan, after his exit, posted an Instagram with like a long caption statement. Now it's like also a thing where like whenever guys leave the show, they have to post a long statement that's like, I'm so sorry for everything that happened before and during the show.
And
I'm
also
sorry that everyone found out that I'm garbage. it's basically sort of a mea culpa statement. I gotta say, I was expecting Logan to take more of a heel turn than he ultimately did. So I felt sort of sympathetic to him by the time he got COVID and had to leave.
He really didn't do, like...
It wasn't great.
It wasn't great, but he could have done so much worse. And then he just got along with everyone on Gabby's side. Like, he didn't really cause more drama after the switching.
As far as we know.
As far as we know.
He caused a lot of drama. They wanted to hide it for some reason. Yeah, so he posted a long comment, you know, thanking both of the women and apologizing to Rachel for adding more difficulty to an already challenging journey and thanking Gabby for taking a chance on him. And he said, watching myself on Monday nights gave me a different perspective. I will always be someone who will steer with their heart, whether it is popular or not. But in the future, I want to lead with intention and pursue with purpose. I'm ready to bring those lessons back into my life. So you heard it here first, ladies. Logan is never going to fuck around again. He's done with changing his mind midstream. Yeah. And then he talked about sort of the mental health, his mental health history and how going through the gauntlet of The Bachelorette and its fandom
has impacted his mental health. And like this.
Yeah, fair enough.
Fair enough. Like, this is not surprising at this point. We know that just being on the end of any kind of mass level of feedback, even if a lot of it's good, is just very overwhelming. And so I do think that a lot of people who come off of this show just have a hard time and need the support of their communities and therapists.
I said it
before. To kind of cope with that.
I'll say it again. I think that we need to end reality TV and just go back to fiction only. Like, we need to be having these conversations about fictional characters so that we can get out all our judgmentalness on people who can't be hurt. And no one is listening to my good idea. So let's talk about a couple just tiny little tidbits. Not hardly even gossip, but still fun.
Just things I liked.
Eric's safe word was not shared on the last episode, but he did share it on Instagram. We really wanted to know, and here it is. Pineapple.
Pineapple, the literal safe word that Claire was like, you know, the classic safe word, pineapple.
I was almost surprised that Johnny offered pumpkin because I was like, usually people say pineapple, but
I wonder if Eric went first and just like took the classic one.
And everyone else was like, oh, now I have to think of something
and then
else.
Johnny was doing word association. He's like, pumpkin.
So Eric and I were on the same wavelength, like most people picking safe words out there, in my opinion. And, you know, I don't think Eric's such a bad guy. People have really turned against Eric, but that's a guy who's thinking I can really get behind.
I don't know. I like Eric. Also, Zach's uncle is Patrick Warburton, actor and voice actor from Seinfeld and Family Guy.
David Putty.
So that's a fun fact. Yeah. Putty from Seinfeld. He is going to, I guess, be on Hometowns because he was featured in the promo. Thank you to former producer Harry for bringing this to our attention before we caught it.
Yeah,
I was too busy like analyzing Rachel's outfits in each shot to pay attention to family members and whether they were famous. But
I miss everything except which parents seem to be yelling at the lead. Like, that's the only thing that I register during these. I don't notice outfits. I don't notice celebrity relatives. I mean, it is a coup to get your celebrity relative to actually come. I think we can all remember how hard it was when Aaron Rodgers did not come to Jordan.
I mean, Aaron Rodgers did not even go to JoJo and Jordan's wedding. So
yeah, that was rough. But we do have, like, fairly often we have like a celebrity lookalike parent. I'm thinking of Blake Moynes' mom right now. I think, like, sometimes there's just a parent where you're like, wow, that looks exactly like that beloved character actress, but it's just Blake's mom. But in this case, actually, Patrick Warburton. So Zach has such an interesting family history. Can't wait to meet them.
I need more. It really is making me realize how little we know about all of these men. Like, just realized that Jason is Jewish and I got really excited.
We just learned that Jason is Jewish and Zach hasn't even mentioned crypto. And apparently it's like a crisis roiling his family. Plus Patrick Warburton.
Plus his famous uncle. So much to learn. So much to learn about these men. Thank God for Instagram. And now it is time for us to take a quick break. And when we get back, we actually have a lot more to talk about because we got to get into Maddie Pruitt's engagement and Tyler Cameron's extreme chaos. Can you keep up? I like love it. If you, like the two of us, are just always desperate to bring more coziness into your life, may we suggest Barefoot Dreams, especially now because the brand is celebrating their 30th anniversary.
With those 30 years of coziness, Barefoot Dreams celebrates being the originators of everyone's favorite luxe home blanket.
I mean, there's a reason why Barefoot Dreams has been on Oprah's favorite things list 6 times.
If there's anything I trust more than Oprah's favorite things list, it's 6 of Oprah's favorite things list. I mean, come on. Dressing head to toe in Barefoot Dreams is the key to comfort, as their collection of ultra soft robes, loungewear, and accessories are made with premium materials.
And their products make perfect gifts, too.
I'm a huge fan of just swaddling myself in a big cozy robe. So I know, Emma, I'm very excited for the Barefoot Dreams robe that is heading my way right now. I was so excited to pick it out, and I'm so excited to try it on. Like, the perfect cozy robe.
I'm so excited, too.
Oh, my God. It's going to change my life, I think.
We'll just be swaddling ourselves in coziness 100% of the time. And I think we can all agree that, like, that is the lifestyle which we deserve and to which we aspire. Thank you, Barefoot Dreams.
For Love to See It with Emma and Claire listeners, you can get 15% off your first purchase at barefootdreams.com with the code LTSI15.
Don't miss out on Barefoot Dreams' soft, soothing fabrics that will bring luxury to your life. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Lately, my social battery has actually been full to bursting. I feel like I've barely been able to see anyone all winter, especially with little kids at home and constant daycare bugs. And I'm just like dying to get out there and see some people. And, you know, it's actually been kind of hard at times over the winter to feel like I'm just desperate to see friends and I don't have time to do it.
I feel like we're constantly trying to regulate, like, what's the correct amount of social energy? What kind of space do we need to carve out to actually give ourselves the space to socialize? What space do we need to carve out to give ourselves time to actually recharge? Either way, therapy can give you some self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery or store it up a little too much.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit betterhelp.com/love to see it today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/love to see it. Okay, so you got engaged. Congrats. Now you may be wondering what comes next.
If you're planning a wedding, the first thing you need to know about is Zola.
With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place. From the day you get engaged and search for the venue to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste your cake.
Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and actually even enjoyable.
There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or, you know, from your couch, which is certainly how, if I was planning a wedding, I would definitely want to do it as loungily as possible.
So important.
I also just know myself. I know that planning any kind of event, like even a birthday party, can get very stressful. And so it's been really cool to see friends use Zola. It really seems to make everything a lot less stressful. And as a frequent wedding attender, I love to be able to hop on that Zola registry and just purchase a gift. Easy peasy. I know I've done it. I won't forget. Thank you, Zola.
Yeah, everything's all in the same place. It's perfect. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com. 1 in 5 Americans have learn a new language on their bucket list.
If, like us, that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel.
Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks.
Studies from Yale, Michigan State University, and others continue to prove Babbel is better.
One study even found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college.
Oh man, could have saved so much time. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. I recently was in France and Portugal, and I was trying my hand at getting more comfortable with French, really brushing up a little bit. And I found Babbel so helpful. I'm not going to say that I like arrived all fluent, but I did feel much more comfortable ordering food in restaurants, asking for directions, reading signs, speaking to people when I was buying something without having to constantly be consulting a language app.
Here's a special limited time deal for listeners.
Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/LTSI.
Get 55% off at babbel.com/LTSI.
Spelled BABBEL.com/LTSI.
Rules and restrictions may apply.
Let me set the scene. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at actually unbeatable prices.
I love it.
Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach.
Like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. We truly love to see it.
By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes.
I love Quince, and I actually have a couple recent Quince purchases that I'm really excited about. I just ordered the Glow Boho hoops to have like kind of a chunkier version of my usual gold hoops to wear, like maybe on a date night or something. And they are beautiful. They're everything I dreamed of.
Indulge in affordable luxury.
Go to quince.com/LTSI for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/LTSI to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/LTSI. And we're back. Maddie Pruitt of Pilot Pete's season.
Wow.
She has been taking her relationship out on the town in the past few months. She has been dating the billionaire son, Grant Trout, for about 8 months. And what do you know? They are now engaged.
Because they understandably would like to bone.
I mean, they're in love. Yeah. I mean, well...
This is what they said. Like, to be clear, they did a live about their engagement, and they did explicitly say
they want a bone.
Not those exact words, but yes.
I mean, Christians have hormones too. Like, people don't understand this, but like, Christians can't have sex, but they do want to, and that is difficult. They got engaged after 8 months, and
I believe, of course, on my birthday.
Announced it in a photo, one of those classic photos where they're like kissing in the background and the whole foreground is just her hand showing off the ring.
Right to the camera.
Like, the ring is in focus and they're like barely even in the frame. They clearly did some sort of like beach photo shoot to announce their engagement. And
7/31/22, when I was celebrating my 35th birthday. Madison was getting engaged, and I love that for both of us.
I think that just two beautiful things happening at the same time. I mean, we're happy that Maddie has found the person that she wants to spend her life with.
Yes.
I can't say that Grant is like to my taste, but Maddie and I are very different people.
Right. I don't think that like the two of us and Maddie are looking for the same things from a partner, and that's okay.
Yeah. Well, we're going to have to get into what she's looking for in a partner a little bit. There was some like controversy about whether their engagement photos were like too staged. I feel like people were like, oh, this is such a staged photo shoot. And it's like, yeah, she's like a very...
I mean, she was in...
famous influencer.
I'm going to say though, this was like extra staged. First of all, you're in a wedding gown for this proposal, which
yeah,
it's okay to know that it's happening. Plenty of people do. I get it.
I would also argue that maybe they were, it had already happened. Like, is this really?
Yeah, I was actually wondering if it was somewhat a recreation.
It seems like a recreation.
Especially when we watched, or just, yeah, I do wonder if it was a recreation because I watched the video that they posted after their photo carousel.
Oh,
and
God.
I was talking to Lizzie from Game of Roses about this, and we were like, it really sounds like they're mic'd up in this video.
Like, I mean,
it really does. And I
but like, here's the thing. We want people to go on The Bachelor. I mean, it's like the Katie Thurston thing, too, where she, you know, when she was announcing her relationship with John, RIP, to their relationship. They're both alive. Yeah. And I liked them together, so I'm sad. But like, she was announcing their relationship, and we were like, oh, it's so overproduced. Like, it was like this whole like multi-day like lead up, and then this little video with the Taylor Swift song to like announce that they were starting to date, and the whole like, oh, producing my own happiness sort of sentiment. And like, it's a lot. Like, it can be a little off-putting, but at the same time, we are selecting for,
craves.
And it's what we're selecting for, a group of people who also want that for their lives. Like, they want to go on a show where they are wearing a wedding gown to get proposed to, and then there are a bunch of photos and they're mic'd up to give an interview. And
you,
like,
you really make a good point, Claire.
They missed out on their opportunity to do that on the show, or it didn't work out. So like, why wouldn't they just want to like have that again? This
I'm
is
just
Maddie's
saying,
chance.
Just own it. Just be like, this is what you wanted. There were mics. I don't know. I find it hilarious and wonderful. And I respect anyone who wants to do, you can do whatever you want for your engagement and create whatever content you want. And I also believe that people who go on The Bachelor are like forever kind of every, like their followers forever kind of demand that romantic content. So I totally understand the impulse. I just found it funny.
Yeah. I mean, let's be honest. Like, most people, like, even if they know they're, even if they don't get engaged in advance or something like this, they probably know what's coming. I'm sure they talked about it. Maybe he knew this was what she wanted. And the minute that she saw the beautiful dress laid out for her, she knew that today was the day. I don't know how they did it exactly, but it's clear that it was exactly what they wanted. I just like, I hate how it becomes like expected. It's like, now everyone's going to have to do this, you know, and you're out here, not an influencer, not, you know, making money off of your engagement photos, but still being like, oh my God, I have to find the perfect dress for my engagement.
Now I need to hire a videographer.
Hire a videographer.
For my engagement. Like, that's it's just a bridge too far.
Yeah, this whole concept of like a photo of your engagement, like, I don't think that a photo was taken of me on the day that I got engaged, like, at all.
I know people who did like have a photographer kind of like waiting, they had like a plan, but there was no like microphone.
Yeah, I was engaged. I got engaged after work, so like, I was not like in a romantic location.
And all of your followers are worse off for it.
Exactly. And I'm missing out. So they went on to do sort of like a live video chat. I forget on what platform. But sort of sharing more.
Was it an Instagram live?
Possibly. That they were sharing more.
They went live.
Yeah, they went live. They took to live. So they shared more about like the process of like coming to decide to get married. And oh man, you guys, it's like every time that I hear him talk or like see him write something, I'm just like, I don't like your personality. Like, it's not for me.
Yeah, like, I liked watching Maddie. I find her personality sweet. His personality, I'm gonna be honest, his vibes, I'm not charmed by.
Bad. So
bad.
They did this chat, and she sort of talked about how when they first met, she was like, oh yeah, he's great. He like checks a lot of boxes. But like, there was one moment when it really changed for me. I think we have a clip.
But then there's this part of me that was like, okay, but does he have like this swag? Like, does Like, is there another side of him where we can just like turn on some Justin Bieber, some Drake, like, and just chill and vibe? And so we get in the car and he opens my door and he's like, do you mind if we just like drive around downtown and I just turn on some Drake? And I was like, huh. I was like, do you want to get married?
That's all it takes.
He's like one of the most popular recording artists in the world.
I think he might be, or at one time was, like the number one on all of Spotify internationally. Like, it's not a personality
to like
to listen to Drake.
Do you have swag? Like, do you like Justin Bieber? Like, what is happening in the world?
Yeah. Since when is Justin Bieber the arbiter of swag? Also, these are two of the whitest white people to ever exist.
Yeah.
This made me so uncomfortable.
Deeply appropriative. It's very uncomfortable. Literally like the son of a billionaire. Like
an MLM billionaire.
Who made money? Just telecom MLM. Like
incredible. A little too on the nose.
And so like, there's just something so deeply demoralizing about the way that now it's like, just like to see the culture and like the language and the just like the vibe of Black culture just being like appropriated by like someone who is just like a white scion of like grifter wealth. And just like that is swag now, I guess. It's just being
frankly, this is the American story.
It is. And I mean, look, Maddie is also an interesting person. Maddie is like a preacher influencer now. I feel like we don't talk about this enough. Her Instagram is all clips of her like giving sermons.
I went down a weird rabbit hole on TikTok and found these videos. Maddie is featured heavily on her church's TikTok, and they have like a separate, I think, like youth ministry account. And she did this whole series about making the choice to like save herself for marriage and how it's like a hard thing to talk about because some people don't make that choice and then they feel ashamed.
Yeah. It marks me every day, you know?
Same.
Yeah, no, her whole Instagram is just like engagement photos, or it's like a clip of her with like one of those little like flesh colored microphones attached to her cheek, being like,
it's the like hipster church
John 3:17, right? Here's what he says, the Lord says, and that means your moment is coming, right? You just have to let the Lord bring it to you. And I'm like, wait, I'm sorry. When did I follow a televangelist? I didn't know that's what this account was. That's really, it's like, but she also sells sweatshirts.
I mean,
I don't know.
I think that this is an entire subgenre of influencers. Like the Christian influencer is such a type because it's exactly what you just said. You can both preach to the masses and sell shit.
And sell shit. Yeah, that's
which
real.
Consider that evangelizing any religion is, in essence, being a salesperson.
It's true. Yeah. Like the televangelists were the ultimate influencers. And it's so not my vibe. And I'm always just like confused to find that I've stumbled through some like backdoor of Instagram into this. Then I'm like, oh, it's because she was on The Bachelor. I know her.
Also, you're like, can you imagine Pilot Pete?
No.
Dating that, like, it is so, this is the worst match ever.
It's hard for me to, like, remember what drew them together. I guess just, like, sheer animal attraction.
Yeah, it honestly makes no sense. I'm like, I almost can't think of two people in Bachelor World who are less suited to each other.
Speaking of sheer animal attraction, she did mention also that one reason that they didn't want to wait a long time before they got engaged was that they were waiting until marriage.
Yeah, he's like, wrap it up. He says in the background, he's like, we gotta. And I get that.
I mean, also, like, to be fair, by bachelor standards, 8 months is actually a very long courtship pre-engagement.
That's true. We're talking about a person who was ready to get engaged after spending a collective, like, 72 hours with someone.
Yeah. Maybe. Here's what I will say. It's not, I think, a healthy way to raise young people with the idea that they need to plunge into a lifelong important commitment to another person in order to finally be able to, like, give in to their hormonal urges to have sex. But it does make a lot of sense to me to, if you're living within that, to be like, we could, if we weren't religious, just, like, move in together, or we could quasi move in together and sort of
start our lives
together. We can't really start our lives together until we get married. And, you know, so we're getting married. That. Like, that does make sense to me. I don't think that it's, like, a good or healthy system for marriages ultimately to be formed in. But it does make, you know, coming from that kind of background myself as a raised Catholic, like, I probably, if I were still observing that kind of idea of sex before marriage, once I started, you know, dating in my 20s, I probably also would have been like, can we just, like, get married? Like, we're going to get married. Let's just do it. Let's just get out of the way. Because you see your peers, like, basically starting their lives together just without that formality. And you're like, we should just do that too. I don't know. I wish them the best.
I wish them the best.
I wish Grant that he give all his money away. Just cash grants, just to whoever needs it. And I also would
just humbly request that he refrain from loud interjections in videos that I might see, and also never again utter the words Maddie Trizzy Trout.
Yeah, I don't like that.
They were discussing how she's going to be changing her last name, but, like, she has a very strong connection to Pruitt. Everyone calls her Maddie Prue. And Grant helpfully said that she's now Maddie Trizzy Trout. I can't even
imagine
think it makes me
going
too sad.
From Madison Pruitt to Maddie Trizzy Trout. That's your new name.
I'm just gonna say Pruitt is a better last name. I don't know.
Sorry, just, patriarchy. Don't get to keep it. You don't get to keep it. So
let's move on.
Let's move on. I'm dying with secondhand embarrassment. I need to move on. So Tyler Cameron knows how to keep himself in the news cycle. I gotta say, he has never been too far from relevance since coming off Hannah Brown season. And he's really been popping off lately. So in July, that was a month ago, he went public with his relationship with Paige Lorenz, model, designer, whatever. And last week, after 4 weeks of dating, he announced on E's Daily Pop that they had broken up. And he said, it wasn't the right time. It wasn't good for us. And he said, so we're back on just not dating anymore and just doing our own
thing.
Back on that thing where we're just not involved.
We have nothing to do with each other. We're back on that thing.
He's like, we both have tons of respect and love for each other. That's great.
I really love that framing, and I wish I had used that in, like, all of my breakups. Like, we're just back to not existing in each other's lives. We're just back to that thing where, like, I don't really know that he exists.
Right. It's not a big deal. Like, 3 months ago, we weren't dating. Now we're not dating again. We've just toggled back. Like, the switch moved over here. We've just switched it back to where it was before. Status quo. Paige then responded in a TikTok comment, haha, had no idea he was talking to media, big smiley face, but I'm not embarrassed. I stepped away, just weird.
So it kind of seems like she was the one to end things, is what this implies to me.
Yeah, she is definitely implying that she ended things, and also is like, implying that he maybe wasn't supposed to talk about it. Like, that she was sort of taken aback. That
he's like, I have so much love and respect for her that I didn't even tell her that I was going to tell the world that we are broken up.
I mean, I have to say, in Tyler's defense, it was in response to a direct question about how their romance was going. Like, I truly don't know what he was supposed to say.
Okay, no, that really seems fair then. That's not really him talking to the media.
Right.
The only thing he could do then is, like, have his manager, press person be like, be speaking about his romantic life.
Right. This is just the tough thing about having a public romance and breakup after 4 weeks is, like, it's hard to really have that kind of comfort coordinating these things, but you do need to be able to be like, all right, we got to be on the same page. Like, are we going to take questions about our relationship in public appearances or for media outlets? If so, what are we going to say?
Public sounds fucking awful.
Yeah. Like, the minute that you end things, you just got to, like, send out your little, like, itinerary for how the rollout of the breakup is going to go. Like, you can't just leave it up to him, because then he's going to go into an interview. They're going to be like, how are things with Paige? And he's going to be like, we broke up. What? I don't know.
We're doing that thing where, like,
we're doing the thing we were doing before we were dating. We're not dating. So that's a shame. Like, it was a very short relationship. That's rough. It's rough to deal with the stress of going public and then have
I'm going to say that end. Tyler seems to be enjoying the single life.
I definitely think he is. I think this was, like, his first relationship since breaking up with another model last year, Camille Kendra.
And I'm going to say that 2 days ago, Page Six published a report that says Tyler Cameron parties with mystery woman in NYC.
Like, Dumas reports of him out with, like, he's out with a blonde, he's out with a brunette, he's out with a blonde.
I think he's just... he's just, like, a very attractive 29-year-old man who lives in New York City and is really out here getting all the numbers he can. And that is his right.
It is his right. It is his right. I do feel like maybe that should give people pause about taking advice from him about, you know, finding
relationships.
But, you know, that's his right.
I'm going to agree with that.
So Tyler has also been out here just fueling rumors that he hates Rachel Kirkconnell, Matt James's girlfriend, his erstwhile best friend, Matt. Because
this is the most chaotic shit. Like, he did not need to fuel any of these rumors.
This is, like, on Tyler. This time I think it's on Tyler. I guess basically he and Matt have not been seen hanging out as much anymore.
Which, like, Matt and Rachel don't live in New York. So,
I mean, this makes sense. Like, when you're, like, a young single guy and you live with a roommate who's a good friend of yours, you spend a lot of time together. You do
stuff
together.
In their own buddy comedy.
Right. It's almost like that person fills a role that, like, a romantic partner might if you had a romantic partner. It's like they're your default person for doing things with. Once one of you has a partner, you have to negotiate. Where does that time go? Who do you travel with if a trip is being planned? Matt's been doing his thing with Rachel. That makes sense. But Matt did say recently that the two had a, quote, love-hate relationship, which seemed unusual because why would you have such a heated dynamic with the friend of your boyfriend? So Matt seeds this a little bit, I think. And then Tyler was asked about it a couple weeks ago by Us Weekly, and he said, you know, we're just, you know, Matt and I are older. Matt's, like, found a partner. We're spending less time together. It's natural. Our lives have just, like, kind of diverged. It's just what happens as you get older. But then he went on, which I think was unnecessary, and said, quote, we just have our own ways of clashing. I don't like listening to people sometimes. And she's strong and she has a really good opinion on a lot of things. And sometimes I don't want to hear it.
What? I mean, I do feel like he's putting this on himself, but it is also just unnecessary.
It's, like, very easy to read between the lines of a statement like that. Like, that he's doesn't, like, sound like what you would say to the press about your friend's girlfriend that you think is amazing. and you're a big fan.
No. I mean, and he's saying that they clash.
Right. Yeah, he's like, I think we clash because we're just both passionate people in what we believe in.
I'm
what
like,
does
okay,
that mean,
where,
Tyler?
Where are you diverging? What are your different beliefs? I have many questions.
So many questions. But he's like, but we've also learned from each other. What have you learned?
Rachel has obviously like said nothing.
Right. Rachel's just out here like making like quesadillas with Matt and posting TikToks about it.
Yeah, honestly, they seem really happy.
But here's something that probably won't help. There was a recent Dumois tip claiming that the tipper sat behind Tyler at a restaurant and overheard him, quote, talking shit about Rachel the whole time.
I mean, look, that is a topic of conversation you might have at a lunch. You just really start going in on a friend's partner that you don't like. I believe it happened.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's also like, I totally believe it didn't happen because Dumois rumors are completely unverified. So,
oh, yeah, yeah. No, it definitely could have not happened, but I
but it also
wouldn't
could
be
have
surprised
happened.
if it did happen. And
yeah,
look, people just, vent and like listen. It sucks to have your private conversations leaked. But also, buddy, you gotta speak more quietly in a public setting.
Yeah.
You're a famous person.
Like, you already know that these rumors of friction between you have sparked national news coverage. Like, why are you talking loudly about it at a restaurant in New York? Like, a trendy, sceney restaurant in New York. I mean, here's
this
the thing.
This same Dumois tip also said, and then he got the waitress's number, which yeah. just chef's kiss.
Listen, I've always liked Tyler. I think that Tyler is fundamentally a guy with some good qualities and some good attitudes. But I do think that he is like the ultimate example of a guy who got absolutely ridiculous sexual capital from going on this franchise. And
like,
I just don't think that anyone can.
The most of anyone who's ever been on this show.
He's dating like supermodels now. Like yeah. there's no one who has like been vaulted into the dating class, for lack of a better
right.
word.
Wells really stumbled in there.
And like, listen, Tyler is like Leonardo DiCaprio now. Like, he's dating multiple like model, like supermodel. Like, it's just.
He was on SNL.
It's just, it's all out of all proportion. Like, I like Tyler, but like, I do feel like it is impossible for him to not get high on his own supply at this point. And it definitely seems like it's happening. Like, he's just getting messy. And it saddens me that this show just takes nice seeming hot men and just inflates their heads to such a degree that they have no choice but to talk shit about their buddy's girlfriend in a very
rough.
Veiled way in Us Weekly.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I'm going to say this cannot be good for Matt and Tyler's relationship.
I would just like to see him find a way to stay out of these news stories
yeah,
and
just,
like let
just
his
stop.
Friend be happy.
Just stop talking about it. If someone asks, you say, they're really happy and I'm happy for them. And you don't have
yeah.
to say anything else.
Yeah.
You could just stop talking.
You then. Absolutely don't. Speaking of relationships that we don't even know very much about at all, but we're so happy for them. We had a few Bachelor Nation weddings and engagements not yet mentioned over the past few weeks. Jed Wyatt, famously the finalist on Hannah Brown's season, only to get dumped on camera for allegedly having a girlfriend at home, who is now engaged to Hannah Brown's brother.
Wow, incredible web.
Jed got engaged to his girlfriend, Ellen Decker. I just want
to
take a moment.
Congrats to Jed.
Yes, congrats. They've been together for years. I think that it's just so weird and interesting that all the people involved in this classic bachelorette drama explosion have just been in stable relationships for years now and like blessed.
They're like all doing well. That's what I want for everyone who's involved in some drama. Just like get into a good relationship. Treat your partner well, be treated well, and just
we are like
live
the,
your
the
life.
Ravenous public that the publicist like is trying to placate when they turn to like the celebrity and they're like, we just need to get you in a relationship like with like a person with a good reputation and that will like mend your image. And I'm like, yes, that's what I want.
You're like, that's, I deeply want that. I'm just like, oh, Chad, glad he's happy. And then I like never have to think about him again.
Exactly. Emily,
I like, it's really at this point, I'm like, why was I ever so mad at him?
I don't know. Again, it's just like what he did was like not good. And I think Hannah was totally right to be super upset and to dump him. But it is just like this thing where it's like magnified to the point where you're like, does the whole country need to be this mad at one guy who pulled some shit like this? We all need to let people move on eventually and get engaged to their girlfriend, Ellen Decker. So Emily Ferguson of Ben Higgins' season, she's one of the Ferguson twins, got married. She married her longtime boyfriend, William Carlson, a Swedish ex-NHL player. They're both so blonde. And he's
so
also
blonde.
He's like an aspiring gambling magnate.
Is he? Oh, because they, well, I guess they live in Vegas.
Well, he played for the Las Vegas Golden Knights, I want to say. And Greg is going to be really mad at me if I don't remember the name of the team. But he also has in his bio that he is the co-founder of Lads Gaming Club, which like I can't find like anything on really except an Instagram account that has like 14 followers. So maybe it's very much in the embryonic stage, but it seems like that is his next venture because I think he just recently retired from the NHL.
Well, you know what? I'm just relieved that both of the Fergusons are married to NHL ex hockey players and
thriving.
And they got married within months of each other. And I think that is just all they wanted for their lives. And I'm glad that they, you know, achieved their twin wedding dreams, but each got to have their beautiful special moment.
If you were a twin, would you want to be the twin who got married a few months earlier or a few months later? Second wedding, first wedding.
Honestly, it's hard to say. I can see the advantages of both. Like is everyone kind of exhausted?
Yeah, I think
by the time you get to the second wedding, yeah, I think maybe you go first.
Yeah, I think you're right. Because then like part of your whole preparatory period is like consumed by like the first twin's wedding. Let's seed some dissension here. I'm sure that they both had wonderful engagements and weddings.
I'm so happy for both of them. And I did consume all of the content they each gave us. And for that, you know, I'm just grateful.
We also saw that Bennett Jordan of Clayshia's season got engaged to his girlfriend, Emily Chen.
He's like a Zen guy and a beard guy now.
He's really leaning into his beard. Also, their engagement photos on Instagram were like very cowboy hat forward. They were like hashtag ranch life.
I'm like, remember when Bennett was like a finance guy in New York City? Like that was his entire brand.
I mean, I will say that he does sort of give me the like George W. Bush, like I'm from Connecticut and I wear boat shoes, but like I have a ranch now. Like that is kind of the vibe.
Oh, you know what? That really does fit.
Yeah. Happy for them. Again, always happy to see another Bachelor Nation person safely released from the clutches of paradise. And I think that brings us to the end of our gossip sheet for this week.
This was really a blast. We covered a lot. I'm proud of us. I'm exhausted.
Some of it more fun than others.
Yeah, but luckily there was a good deal of fun because that is really what I want from my reality TV and from my reality TV gossip. I want to laugh.
Yeah.
And I want the stakes to be low.
Yeah. The stakes can never be low, Emma. We live in a society. And that's it for Love to See It with Emma and Claire.
Love to See It is produced by us, Claire Fallon and Emma Gray and Stitcher. This episode was edited by Tamika Weatherspoon. Our theme music is by Tamar Haviv and our art is by Celine Chang. Josephine Martirana is our executive producer.
If you like the show, please follow us wherever you get the podcast, rate us 5 stars and leave a review. And of course, tell all your friends about our show. It really helps new people come to us.
If you want to get in touch, you can always email us at clarenemmapod@gmail.com.
You can also find us on Twitter and TikTok at Love to See It Pod and Instagram at clarenemmapod. And you can find our newsletter, Rich Text, on Substack at clarenemma.substack.com.
You can also find me on Twitter and Instagram at Emma Lady Rose.
And I'm at Claire E. Fallon. I'll be back next week for Hometown. Can you keep up? I like
love it. Stitcher.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
If you have kids or pets, you know stains and odors in your carpet and upholstery are inevitable. But the experts at ChemDry can help. ChemDry removes odors and stubborn stains by sending millions of carbonating bubbles deep within your carpet. ChemDry lifts dirt, urine, and stains to the surface to then be extracted away, giving you a cleaner and healthier home. Call 1-800-CHEMDRY or visit ChemDry.com to connect with your local ChemDry and learn about special offers in your area. That's 1-800-CHEMDRY or visit ChemDry.com today.